is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. It's a great honor.
News for the Soul is now in its 25th year of broadcasting. Tune in live or visit the archives at newsforthesoul.com. That's newsforthesoul.com.
And it's time now for Eyes Wide Open with Janessa and SJ. Let's bring them on to reintroduce themselves, their show, and what's up for today.
Welcome to Eyes Wide Open. We are multifaceted beings living in a multidimensional existence. We hold the power of perception, and this power alone paints our reality. Perception influences the things we see and the things we don't see. Together, we'll explore the mystical and the material, the metaphysical and the physical, the supernatural and the concrete, and the seen and the unseen. Hi, I am one of your hosts, Janessa Finley Ford. I'm an empowerment coach, and I help people pattern their lives and reprogram their brains to live the life they've always dreamed of.
And I'm SJ. I'm a certified crystal healer and shamanic earth and energy medicine practitioner. I really focus on marrying together those old ancient wisdoms with new age concepts like quantum physics to really help people literally make those quantum leaps into living their best life.
But this week, we are going to dive into the lunar cycle. And I thought I would kick us off with my experience of how I came to believe that the moon did a thing, even though it was well before my energetic awakening, spiritual awakening, believing that the planets and things outside of, you know, work, car, home, whatever, actually had influence on me. So if you've been following along with us, those of you who have, you already know that I spent about 2 decades in the criminal justice field, and pretty early on in that career, I worked as a probation officer, and I had high-risk offenders who had felonies, and probation was their last chance before incarceration. And so as a part of that supervision, we were expected to go to their homes, to their work, and just really be involved in their rehabilitation. And it always seemed as though whenever the full moon fell around a Friday, the one day of the week when we just really wanted to do our things and go home, like, keep in mind, we're on call 24/7. The pagers could go off at any time. We have people on electronic monitoring. It was a pretty high demand job. So by the time you made it to Friday, we were ready for a little relaxation, a little sleep, and a little time to decompress. Whenever the full moon would fall around a Friday, Friday would be just the most non-ideal day ever of your life. Like, there's drug overdose and you're in the ER with someone. There's an arrest warrant that comes out and you need to serve the arrest warrant. You have a violation that you just can't leave them in the community because there's too much liability. And so we coined the term, before I ever realized that it was really the full moon falling around a Friday, but we coined the term of just wanting a felony-free Friday. Can we just get through the week and have a felony-free Friday? And eventually with time, and especially when you sit in an ER on a few occasions with a few overdoses and you start talking to nurses, they start mentioning the full moon too, because the ER gets real busy around full moons. And then really quick in wrapping it up, a close friend from childhood is an RN, and she worked in the ER for a while as well. But regardless if you're in the ER or on a different floor, we've had many conversations about how her job gets really lit up around the full moons as well. So when you start seeing these different patterns and different professions, it's undeniable that there is some influence upon the mental, emotional, and physical state of a human being with the lunar cycles. So there's 4 phases of the moon. SJ, do you want to give us a little rundown of exactly what is the lunar cycle? What are we talking about?
I will. Let's talk about animals for a moment, because you touched on how people behave differently, right, during that full moon. But the same is true for animals. She and I had a similar but different experience growing up of having farm animals. And when I tell you that, you know, when you look at those lunar cycles and you take a look at when the full moon is, you can count that that is going to be your highest birth rate night for any of the cattle that may be having babies at that time. I didn't have any other animals really in my life as far as that were having babies of their own during that time, but the full moon was always one of those times on the ranch that you just knew, like, in the days coming up to it and the days coming after it, that was probably when you were going to have your highest birth rate and needed to pay attention a lot more as well, because that was also when you were going to have the most chaotic birds as well, of things just not quite going well. On the animal spectrum, like, we can't deny we're animals either, right? Because I certainly had both of my two children on a full moon as well. So I feel like there's no coincidence with that syncing up of that too as well. But what are we talking about? We're talking about moon cycles. Lunar cycles are moon phases. And the phases of the moon and how they interact with an ebb and flow, how people interact with them, what you notice during them. I feel like the full moon is the easiest one for us to connect to, or at least for us to notice. And then I think when you start taking note of the full moon, it's easy to then take note of how you are kind of at the polar opposite spectrum during the new moon, from an emotional stance, from a creativity stance, from just a state of action as well. And then when you start to really connect with the new moon and the full moon phase, you start to notice that there is an ebb and flow of all of those lesser focused on phases. Like right now, we're in a waning crescent moon. Waning crescent moon is all about surrender. It's all about recuperation and rest, and that it's okay to feel empty or like you're not sure what you're doing in the moment, but just to take a moment to relax. I can tell you, I can feel the waning crescent moon energy for sure. So lots of that is going into this current phase. So I don't know if you callers can connect with that too. Are you kind of in that state of maybe even feeling like burnout or like there's a time to just rest? You can be at two spectrums, I feel like, within that surrender or that recuperating and resting. You could be at that place of burnout, but you can also be at that place of beautiful surrender to where it feels good. You're just trusting in what's happening for you. You feel like you're on a high. So that's something to kind of keep in mind with the moon phases as well. Full moon, though, I think everybody can connect with that. When you look at it, Vanessa already talked about how people can move into the full moon. I've touched a little bit how you'll see animals. But some common things during full moon energetics that you notice are heightened emotions, restlessness and sleep disturbances. Perhaps people just don't sleep quite as well during that time. You will hear some people say that there's an increased energy and creativity around the full moon. I have to say, though, I'm the opposite. I feel like the full moon is when I'm more tired, and I feel the increased energy and creativity during the new moon. Do you connect with that, Janessa, or are you the opposite rate of that?
I felt more during the full moon, typically. Now that I'm more aware, I will sometimes have a month where the new moon seems more intense for me, but I think for the most part, the full moon is a little bit more impactful on the regular, but not like it used to be, because my full moon reality used to be usually 5 nights of horrible restless sleep. Like you mentioned, sleep, that was me. And now maybe 2 nights if it even happens, and it's more rare that it disturbs my sleep.
Yeah, and I think that's a beautiful too when you say that 5 days. Typically there is like a 3-day prior pre-period, the day of, and then the day after. So you'd be looking at a 6 to 7 day week of where you could feel varying energies for each one of those specific phases of the moon and how they're moving in and out too. Some other things that I've tracked with full moon energy specifically is definitely heightened intuition or psychic awareness. Changes in social interactions are there. And then also increased accident rates and impulsivity. Sometimes, you know, when we're not used to our intuition coming to play, we can get confused by, is it intuition or is it something else? And let me just take a reaction and just do the thing without really processing or tapping into, does this really serve me in the best manner to do this? Arguments for sure can break out during the full moon. Full moon is one of those where it's really about, there's two kind of sides of this. It's a purging. The full moon is truly a purging of what have you experienced in the last cycle. Let's reflect on it. That could be a great thing too, right? Like you could be looking at the time of really almost harvesting those things that you've been trying to grow, really gleaning or glowing or basking in that glow of really amazing things have happened. Or you could be a little bit triggered by how your last cycle has gone, or people could trigger you because it's not the flow or the vibe that you're trying to live in, and it will bring back some of those old wounds. But the full moon is all about that inner reflection. What is that internal world doing? Are we happy about it? And perhaps, like, maybe we didn't quite complete the cycle of releasing whatever it was that we were trying to during that moon phase specifically, to where we may have to revisit it. But for me, the full moon has always been really a time of thankfulness, gratefulness. I love to journal on the full moon. I love to journal all the time. But specifically the full moon, you really get to see, like, what did I do? What have I worked on? What are those rewards that I get to take a look at? And you can take it two ways, right? You can see the highs and the lows, but you can really see progress when you journal. But maybe I'm just a journaling geek.
I love that you love to journal. Just let all of you geek out. It's great. So as we talk about the lunar cycle, how it affects there's so many different things, right? Okay, so let's talk about sleep, the lunar cycle. I'm bringing it full circle also with the menstrual cycle. And thinking menstrual cycle with lunar cycle, because the menstrual cycle reflects those same four phases of the moon as well. And our melatonin levels, melatonin is a hormone, it correlates with the menstrual cycle as well. So part of what people experience with the full moon when it doesn't sit well with them, especially physically, is because their natural rhythms that we all have, especially females living in this very similar 28-day cycle, is out of sync with the same cycle that the moon is bringing into our energetic field as well. And so essentially, like, we're experiencing one part of this cycle external of us, and our bodies internal are experiencing another part of the cycle. And for me, that's a big sign of the sleep versus not sleeping. It's if I'm synced up, and actually one of my modalities even trained to sync our energetics to the lunar cycle to fall into that rhythm. So just bringing a little bit of that full circle. And then also from a science standpoint, I love to bring the science in and the court cases in and like the facts, like let's bring the facts where we can find them and prove the woo. Things that tend to be most prominent in the ER during the full moon is cardiovascular, acute coronary events, hemorrhage, diarrhea, and urinary issues. So if there's anyone out there, if you experience any of these challenges, you can try to give us a call. If you would like to jump on the air with us, we can give you some support and some energetic support. The phones have been a little glitchy, but we still welcome you to give it a go. And that number is 646-595-4274. So also with animals, you brought up animals and the full moon. An animal that a lot of people, well, I'm not sure you could call it a full animal. Now I want to Google parasites. SJ, are parasites animals? Like, I know some of them are worms, and I would consider a worm an animal. Are all parasites animals?
I also ran into Google earlier when you were talking, and I was not born on a new moon or a full moon, but I did have to research really quickly because I was so intrigued by that. So anyway,
well, here's
your
answer.
Oh, great.
No. No, not all parasites are animals. They can vary among plants, fungi, and even microorganisms. So, no, not all.
Okay, that's fair. Sure. I should have known that. Well, regardless, organisms are influenced by also the lunar cycle. A lot of parasite cleanses will encourage you to begin them with the full moon because of the parasite's activity with a full moon versus being in the other phases of the moon cycle. I know it's kind of gross to think about parasites in our body, but we all have them. I mean, there's just a whole bunch of living organisms built on top of each other to build the human body. We have bacteria in our guts and all sorts of things on the inside of us. But parasites are another lunar-connected organism that has activity and lower activity based upon the pull of the moon. It's more than just the tides and the water. Other things with the moon cycle, planting your garden. I don't do this. I also don't have a full garden. I just grow cucumbers. I'm a cucumber farmer. They're my favorite. Do you garden, Estee? Do you plant? You have so many plants. You do so much with plants. Do you sync anything that you do with plants to the lunar cycle?
I do. I sync my fertilization schedule to the lunar cycle, so I fertilize always on new moon, never on full. I try to, when I do my repotting, I try to repot on the full moon, if possible, just because the roots seem to take better during that time, which that could just be my own. Like, I want this to be true, so maybe I see it that way, but I've never had transplants go south when I have repotted during a full moon. Also within that, like, realm too, I know that a lot of, like, the farmer's almanac and things like that deal so much with lunar cycles too, whether it's spelled out that way or not, of when to plant those seeds as well versus when harvest should occur too. So it's interesting to see those links between, you know, all life, honestly, plants, animals, and humans, and how we all either knowingly or naturally gravitate towards really sinking into those moon phases. I have a lot of information within my realms, too, that have talked about, you touched, you know, on menstruation and the ovulation cycle, and how if you're balanced within your feminine and your masculine, which I'll come back to that a little bit and how that relates to the moon here in just a second, that the ovulation cycle would occur on the full moon, whereas the menstruation would actually be on the new moon, and how it's one quick way from like a shamanic practice to know that the hormones or the balancing of the masculine and feminine is out of whack, to see where those menstruation cycles are tracking versus ovulation as well. Within that, I say, you know, that it matters with the lunar cycles because with shamanic aspects, the moon always represents the divine feminine, divine mother, those types of energetics, whereas the sun, the opposite of the moon, is the masculine, that divine masculine energy as well. So that's one way to look at cognitive, tangible data that's in the here and now and see how it sinks into the spiritual or the shamanic aspects of life too.
Okay, so if I heard you right, you just said ovulation, full moon.
Yep.
Menstruation, new moon.
Yep.
But the full moon energy is more of a purging energy, which would be the cleansing of the menstruation. So why is, break it down further with the masculine and feminine and why those representations would counterintuitive. And I think the point you were making is counterbalance. But, yeah, can you go a little bit deeper into that?
It does. It does feel like it should be the opposite. Like if you had to just guess, when you think of like new moon energetics are new beginnings, clean slate, start something new, whereas the full moon is the purging, you would think that those two would be opposite. But when you're in perfect harmony and balance within the masculine and the feminine, you also have the addition of the male masculine during ovulation. That's why it's opposite, because you would already have the input from the masculine to conceive. So they are flipped to balance out those feminine and masculine energetics, and that's why the ovulation actually occurs typically when those are in harmony on the full moon. Also, that ovulation cycle, it's amazing to me when I think back to my own health and my own hormonal issues too. Definitely when I think back to that, like my menstruation cycle for a very long time, like the true menstruation was 14 days pretty commonly. So like how out of sync I was, when I think back to when we first conceived Everett and I was still experiencing a lot of hormonal issues, it took 8 months for us to actually conceive Everett during that time frame. And it's interesting to me because I'm sure it's just, you know, just an anomaly, right? I doubt that. But I had been tracking, too, my ovulation, and it was getting smaller and smaller and closer to the full moon. When I tracked back when Everett was born, or his due date, actually, because he was early, his due date back to when that was, we would have actually conceived on a or around a full moon. So it's interesting to me to see how those energetics really balance out and start to move forward from even a hormonal stance. And now when I track my own menstruation cycle, I really can see it synced up in unison with that new moon versus full moon energetics. Now, you do have to take into consideration that based on the calendar, which that could be a whole nother topic to dive into and why we have the calendar that we have today and whether it's accurate or real or not, but I shall wait for that topic to come into play unless you want to jump into it later. But when you look at our own calendar right now, there would technically be a couple of supermoons, which means two full moons that are going to fall within 1 month. So that's going to throw off your quote-unquote ovulation calculator a little bit if you're using our today time calendar.
Sorry to interrupt you. It's a blue moon.
Yes,
you're saying once
moon,
in a blue moon.
Yeah.
Supermoon is when they're really close and really bright and really
correct.
Big.
Thank you for that correction. Yes, the blue moon. But so when you have those factors coming to play as well, like I think our own current day calendar throws off a little bit of this true essence and timing of lunar intentions and also how our hormones flow with it in specific too.
Getting into that. So intriguing. We have a couple questions. So if you guys have questions, you can keep emailing them in. We'll start with Deanna in New York. Thank you for dropping us a pondering. She wants to know, how can we protect ourselves from negative effects of the full moon and retrograde planets?
Well, you know, I'm all about this stuff. So if you are extra and you like to get into all the information like I do, I love shamanic journeys. Making sure that we had a Mercury retrograde shamanic journey in our Stronger Together course platform was one of the first things that I knew we had to have, because they come around all the time, right? Well, not all the time. For a year, basically, is what you're looking at for Mercury retrograde. But that's another astrological event, much like full moons, that has very tangible things that are hard to deny, that astrology has an effect on things, even as much as some people try to refute or rebuke that energetics. But shamanic journeys to connect with what is the lesson or what is the learning within those specific energetics for you. Because once you connect to the lessons or your learning or what it is you're supposed to figure out, feel, process, release, free yourself from, you won't have those detrimental, hard-hitting lessons that keep coming back because you're not really quite grasping the full emotional connection to it or the cognitive. It depends on where you fall in that spectrum. If you're emotionally processing, then you're definitely going to want to connect in with exactly what's going on in that internal emotional barometer to free up those spiritual energies that could be attached in there too. So shamanic journey is my favorite. We have the Mercury retrograde journey within our Stronger Together platform, which you can find all of that information at fiercelyradiantsoul.com or crystallinecurrents.com as well to connect into that community and take advantage of that journey before you get into Mercury retrograde. We tell our community 2 weeks prior to that Mercury retrograde, go do that shamanic journey so that this one can be easier. And we have gotten a lot of feedback that it's been a lot easier of retrogrades for our individuals within those communities. I would do the same thing with the full moon energetics as well. I would do exactly the same journey, but connect with the full moon energy rather than the Mercury retrograde energy to see what it is that you need to focus on in that internal world. What are you harvesting? What seeds did you plant? What are you really, you know, did those intentions that you've been setting come to fruition, or where's the work? Because it's a very internal, let's see where we are. It's really a gauge of let's see where we're at, let's get a good barometer, and then let's see where we're going to go moving forward out of full moon energetics. You know, I'm all about crystal healing too. So from a crystal stance, for specifically full, did they ask about Mercury retrograde too, or did I make that up in my head? I feel like they did, but.
They asked about retrograde planets. And if you want to save the crystals just quickly, that's actually, we have another question, so we'll get to that.
Sure.
Unless you just want to, if you're in your flow and you just want to flow your vibe.
I can be in flow at any time, so go ahead. You can do the next one.
Okay.
I'll come back.
Well, I wanted to add in here with full moon, retrograde planets, they have themes, right? And as SJ talked about, taking those learnings, what is it that is really coming into our awareness? What are the circumstances around us trying to show us? Very, very frequently when it comes to energetics, I'm quick to say boundarying and releasing, but I feel like surrendering is really empowering during full moon and working with the planetary alignments retrogrades, because it's more difficult when we're resisting and rejecting what it is that is in our divine path for us to come to understand and know. And so I feel like protecting is really more of a shielding. And I don't think that the energetics of the full moon or the planetary alignments, I don't think that's something to shield ourselves from. I think it's something more to surrender to and embrace and collect the wisdom that it's trying to show us to be able to expand and grow. And so this last full moon had a lot of emotion. It brought a lot of emotion to the surface, and really encouraging people with that full moon just to, whatever that emotion is, like cry it out, just give yourself some space. Or if you need to punch a pillow or take a kickboxing class or whatever it is that emotionally is moving through you, allow that to be a channel instead of resisting, fighting it off, ignoring it, trying to shove it down in a way because it's uncomfortable. Like I was really cry tearful over not really anything, and that's not my jam. I don't really love it. And I cried to my parents, and I cried to SJ. I cried to another friend. I'm like, I don't know, it's the full moon. There's just a lot of emotions. But as soon as I like got all of that out, it was over and done because I allowed space for it. And so I really encourage people to just vibe with what is coming up and through for them. And then exactly like SJ said, it's all about the expansion of consciousness, of understanding ourselves. So that is my best advice for full moon and retrograde. I hope that helps, Deanna. Thanks so much for sending in that question. Laura in California.
I love your literal listening,
too. My literal listening?
Yeah, I totally missed that protection concept. So I'm glad you touched on that because I couldn't agree more. It's not about shielding or protecting ourselves from our own full moon lessons. But I will say, you know, to stay out of the havoc of other people's, I do love ensuring that those energetic boundaries are at 100% at all levels, so that that way we aren't going to take on other people's full moon lessons or other people's full moon chaos as our own. So I do, from that aspect, like I think she was asking exactly how you stated that, but I just want to put that out there that I do really like the energetic boundaries work, though, during full moons as well, to make sure that you are staying above the chaos that other people may experience just because they're not as aware or as tapped into these energetic flows.
Yeah, super valid point. What is your energy and your lesson versus what is someone else's energy and their lesson, and not getting entangled and wrapped into what does not actually serve you. I love that. Okay, ready for the next one?
Ready. Do it.
Okay, Laura in California. What crystals might help with balancing our energies through the cycles?
Oh,
I have moonstones, but this is not my zone of genius, so I just wanted to throw that all in there like I knew something, and I'll just let you go.
Well, you do know something, because I would say I love the moonstone aspect for a grid, honestly, for all full moons. And when I say the air quotes, moonstones, I mean garnierite, which is green moonstone. I mean rainbow moonstone. I mean black moonstone. I really like the combination of those three in conjunction with the peach moonstone, to bring in some of those like sacral energies within that peach moonstone too. But those four together are amazing in a grid for full moons to make sure that you are not just being aware of what energetics you're processing, but also can actually process through them. Because when we start to move into energetics of how do I protect myself, that is a fear-based question. That is a, I fear what can come, so how do I protect myself from it? You don't fear processing of emotions or lessons or learnings when you go into it with the intention of I'm ready to heal and process and move forward rather than getting stuck. It's those stuck energies that can bring in a lot of those fear-based things of, man, I just want to avoid. I want to avoid it. I don't want to have to deal with this. But also, I mean, can we really lock ourselves in our house to avoid every astrological event that is really an opportunity? And I think that was the biggest shift for me, especially with like Mercury retrograde, was moving from, oh no, it's Mercury retrograde, barf, gross, into what an opportunity. What an opportunity for me to figure out how to live without my phone and my computer, because they're going to be jacked for like 4 weeks. And also, like, what am I going to get to experience, because I'm going to have to learn how to be in flow and just go with what comes my way. And when you move out of resistance, like, I love this phrase Janessa said years ago, when you come to the table in a state of resolution versus resistance, you free up so much of that really heavy, oh my God, what do I do with this? Like, I just don't want to be here. I'm going to avoid it, or I'm going to blow up and have a whole meltdown, whichever side you fall on when you hit resistance. You don't come to even the astrological events in that state either when you move into, like, it's an opportunity, and I am here to resolve whatever my lessons are here for, because you know what? Once they're resolved, we don't re-experience them. So if you notice that every Mercury retrograde, you get in a car accident. If you clean up the energetics or the lessons that are supposed to be there within those energetics, you probably won't experience a car wreck the next Mercury retrograde or any Mercury retrogrades after that, because you've completed the cycle. You've fully completed the processing and moved out of it. So, yes, all of the moonstones, Janessa is a crystal guru and is correct. Moonstones for sure.
I feel
like when we're talking specifically full moon energetics and really going introspective, because that's really what it is, right? Like, what did we do? Let's focus on what we did. Let's focus on perhaps where we're going, but mostly on, did we complete whatever we were trying to work on? How does our internal world look and feel? I like to bypass some of the cognitive mind in that processing just because I think that's where most people get hung up and stuck. So I would also take a look at watermelon tourmaline. It's going to keep you grounded, but you're going to get into that heart space center and still be able to process those emotions if that's something that is more difficult for you. If you are like me, and emotions and identifying them were not your jam, watermelon tourmaline is where I would go. I also love K2 azurite for full moon work specifically. You guys know I love Numite. You're never going to go wrong, I feel like, with any cycle of anything if you go to, like, a Numite, an Ocean Jasper, or an Apophyllite. Any of those three, I kind of feel like is your, like, if you want to be an efficient Enneagram 1, those are the three crystals you should have. Numite, Apophyllite, and Ocean Jasper. They can help you process just about anything.
Speak in my language.
Yeah.
So I also, go ahead. No, if you have more crystals, it's totally you. I'm going to loop back around to something you said earlier. It doesn't need to be done now.
Okay, so then before we move too quick, because I feel like new moon and full moon, people typically do connect with. If we're looking at new moon energetics, that's really the time for, it's a clean slate. It's time to start or gather your thoughts to plan, start manifesting. Where are you going? What are you doing? If you are looking at crystals to work with for new moon, because I don't remember, did she ask for just full moon or new moon crystals? Doesn't matter. New moon crystals you're getting too, because I love this. So fluorite. Any of the fluorites to get clear, and also here's another favorite Janessa crystal, celestite. Celestite will help you tap in with those spirit guides and also those angels of what should you be doing, where should your focus be? Because sometimes I think we intuitively know what our focus should be, but we're a little bit resistant to just moving into that because we can't find the logic behind why we should be doing something. Celestite will help you get out of your own way. Fluorite will help you get really clear on exactly what it is you're doing. And I also like Red Healer Citrines for new moon energetics because it will also get you moving, taking action, getting into that stuff. So those are kind of the two new moon versus full moon energetics. I mean, if we have time, we could go through the other moon phases, but I want to go ahead and let you loop back to where you were going to first, Janessa.
So I was going to talk about mindset, which you talked about a little bit of, it's a thing, right? So, of course, when it comes to the energetic work, I'm all about bypassing the conscious mind and building the belief system so that our thoughts are supportive of what it is we want to go. But things started happening for me at a much faster rate, and life got way, way better when I started incorporating and embracing the universal principles. And one of those is that a thought creates everything. Everything begins with a thought. And so it's really important to choose your beliefs. You know, does the lunar cycle support you? Do the planets moving around you support you? Aligning yourself with what you want to be the outcome, especially if you are experiencing those cycles being difficult and challenging for you, start working with those affirmations, use that tapping to integrate them, or working with crystals. I mean, there's so many tools out there, so many flipping tools out there. We are at no shortage these days of being able to allow our brain and our belief systems to lock in what it is that we want. Holding the front and back of your head at the same time and focusing on something, something being that affirmation, that belief statement that you want to integrate. And then the other thing with cycles, full moon, it's not a crystal. I should have mentioned this on the previous question and I meant to, and then I forgot. So if you guys haven't heard of a Healy device, I really feel like Healy is one of the things of the future. It's FDA approved to treat pain. It's a bioresonance machine, and it actually will scan your aura and tell you what your chakras are doing. Like, the extent of things that this little handy-dandy device can do is amazing, but it also runs a program that infuses energetics into or biofrequencies into your energy field to support planetary movements. And so with eclipses and different major planetary changes,
I will use that to support the individuals in Stronger Together, of course, myself, etc. And so there are more and more, whether they're tools that you use with yourself and your brain or devices out there that will support you in so many ways. That's mind-blowing and incredible. And if you want more information about that, you can certainly reach out. So back to crystals, because that was a little loop back to a whole lot of different things. Crystals for, do you want to do, we have one more question, but we have plenty of time. So for waning and waxing?
Sure. For waning crescent, which is what we are in right now, which is that time to recuperate and rest, I love malachite because malachite, okay, so I think when you, probably if you're into crystals, you think malachite, okay, heart chakra. I like malachite a lot at the solar plexus. And it's very great at purging, getting us ready to purge. So with that waning crescent moving into that space of that new moon, and what are we going to be doing? Like, it's almost that, let's make sure that I've got all of these remnants out of here so that I'm ready to go and I have faced those inner demons of, you know, because, like, let's be real. Like, we're the people who get in our own way the most. It's not the external people, it's ourselves. Malachite is really great at coming in and taking care of those energetics. So I love malachite for the waning. And for waxing, the waxing moons are all about setting intentions and really kind of sending your hopes and desires into the world, too. So, like, you've really made the plan, and you're putting it into action. So you've made the plan in the new moon. You're putting it into action within the waxing moon. So when we're looking at setting intentions, I feel like this is a little bit personal to the individual and also which intentions you're setting. But if I had to just pick a crystal, I would pick the Mount Ganesh quartzes or a Lemurian quartz. There's some other ones depending upon what your intention is posed to, but I would say in general, look at the Mount Ganesh quartzes and the Lemurians, all of which next Monday I will have on the crystal live sale as well. So within that Stronger Together community on our Facebook page, I do lives in there twice a month. Not next Monday, the following Monday. So it would be the 24th. On the 24th at 7 p.m. Central Time, I would have all of those available. You also, I mean, everybody can find crystals, I feel, at this point as well. But taking a look at those Mount Ganesh, which is a pretty rare one, and the Lemurians would be what I would look for within a waxing moon.
I just had a realization within the like relapse and recovery world in psychology, they've mapped out the stages of change, which you're probably familiar with. So there's, you know, pre-contemplation, contemplation, action, relapse, which doesn't actually have to be a part of the thing, but it can be, and then maintenance. Yeah. So even paralleling that to the full moon, it's all just like taking the cycles that are in Mother Nature and converting it into some other system with other words that it virtually create the same response or way of describing what it is that we go through as shown to us by nature.
Because, like, if we just look at, like, if we just break it down really simply within the waxing phase from new moon to full moon, I would say it goes new beginnings, then setting intentions, then taking action, then refining and honing, and then harvesting the endeavors. So that beautifully matches up to those psychology principles as well.
All right. Anything else for Laura's question?
Crystal? Nope, I think I'm good there. We have another one, right?
We do. Thank you, Laura. We loved your question, and we hope that supports you. So we have another question from Tracy in Connecticut. Can you explain why the Native communities connect with women's cycles to moon time? Is there an actual connection? And if so, why is that not addressed by other communities?
Well, I can't say it's not addressed by other communities, right? So, like, if we're looking at Native communities, I would say it depends on which one you're talking to, but I've not heard one not connect to moon phases and specifically Mother Earth and how those work together. So I guess I can't speak necessarily towards other communities, but, yeah, I feel like that is a very foundational principle within all of the Native communities. Of course, I can't speak for them, but within my own research, that seems to be a commonality that's set place within them. If that's something that doesn't resonate with you, though, I think that would be something great to explore as well, because my truth, someone else's truth, may not be your truth, and that doesn't make your truth any less of a truth than everyone else's. We're all here for a very specific existence and purpose, and if, you know, really getting in sync with those moon phases isn't necessarily your jam, I'm sure that's because you have a different higher calling than to sync up with that as well. So I don't think there's any wrong within that either.
Well, I'm also really curious what is being referenced by community, because there's many different ways to look at that term. It's fairly broad. So I might be out in left field, but we'll just say, for instance, our doctor, regular medical doctor, go to a doctor, I'm having hormone problems, my cycles are insufferable, whatever. Typical response is, for young females, birth control, for older women, hormone replacement, and go on your way. At no point do they inquire, where are the energetics? Are you synced up with the lunar cycle? Is, you know, like, so I don't know what the definition of communities is with that, but to whatever regard we're addressing this question and talking about in that instance with Western medicine, if you will, the structure of Western medicine was really built upon profiting by certain individuals who wanted a certain structure within our medical system because they were going to benefit from the education it took for people to train to be in that system. Also, the petro products that are used within our pharmaceuticals. So there's a reason why our system's devised the way it is, and I certainly don't blame the doctors. Doctors go to school, they take this oath, do no harm, they believe in what they've been taught, but there's just a lot more to our essence than, you know, our hormones and our ovaries. There's so much more in the endocrine system, and it also goes outside of the endocrine system to emotions. SJ has taught me so much about the energetics of hormones and cycles as she supported me in sorting my stuff out because I had a long history of hormone chaos that my doctor treated with birth control, which just compounded the issue even further. So I don't know if that's really the avenue of communities that you were referencing, but I can see where culturally perhaps that would fit. And so I think that it's really finding alignment, like SJ said, with what resonates with you and working with someone who's going to look at the holistic being and not just simply a medical textbook or one isolated aspect of the human body, because there's just so much more to our bodies than breaking them down into individual villages and only treating one gland, one system, one organ at a time.
Yeah, I think that's a beautiful segue into that as well. And moving into that too, that's why I love working with you too, Janessa, within the hormonal aspect, because you do have the energetic stance, the understanding, also the cycles, and then the functional medicine side of that too. Like, I feel like this is one of your superpowers, is all this knowledge and understanding you have of functional medicine and the body and how to really marry those two together with more holistic supplements rather than, you know, hormone replacement, like something like birth control that isn't natural. So I don't know if you want to touch on the functional medicine links into that hormonal system, but this is, you're just like an unsung hero within this functional medicine world too.
I know. I feel like it's something I'm way too quiet about. And I don't know that we've really talked about it here on the air much. From hormone standpoint, really quickly, as we're getting to the top of the hour, it's not really necessarily a really quick topic, but as I alluded to, our hormones, it is the endocrine system, but beyond that as well, because hormone chaos stems from blood sugar instability. So the best way to support any women out there listening who may be having hormone issues
the best way to support yourself in starting to balance your hormones is actually through your glucose. So whether you use a supplement, which I would highly encourage, especially if you're miserable, but also diet, because you are never going to out-supplement a bad diet. So making sure that you're not eating something that's going to spike your glucose in the morning. So I'm saying eat some eggs or eat some protein, eat some healthy fats. Healthy fats are far too diminished as well in our diet, as we went through the non-fat, low-fat era for so long. Your hormones need fat to be produced. So glucose is your blood sugar. Get on it, start paying attention to it, eat so that it's stable and supported. A lot of people that I have worked with have actually been able to support their blood sugar and their hormone stuff cleared up. Not everyone, but people who clearly had that trigger being the blood sugar. So blood sugar can do an awful lot. So as we're moving to the top of the hour, I think that's about all the more we have time for on that topic, but it's truly a nugget of wisdom that can really, really help you. And also for blood sugar stability, research has shown, although I know there's research out there for everything. Where does the research come from? Whatever. I get it. But the research that I have seen most compelling about blood sugar stability is to walk for 10 minutes after you eat. And actually walking for 10 minutes after eating will help burn the sugars versus going for 1 4-mile walk during the day, or 2-mile walk, or what do you get what I'm saying? One long walk versus the smaller. And it doesn't have to be a walk, but it also doesn't have to be, you know, a 1.5-mile run as fast as you can. Just moving your body, whether that's dancing or whatever feels good for you, getting your body in motion so your muscles can burn through that sugar, and it will help regulate. And all of this, in fact, this topic right here, we just discussed on our last call in Stronger Together as well. So from the Healy to the retrograde to crystals to the functional medicine, if you are looking for any of those supportive things to come alongside you in your own journey, Stronger Together is an incredible community to make that happen with our 3 live coaching calls every month. You get the live sessions, you get question and answers, you get the energetic work, you get the courses that are going to help you keep moving forward in between those calls. And the community is the best part. The people in there are amazing. If you're in that community, you also get 22% off SJ's crystal sales, and you also get $50 off the functional medicine kits through me, which I do have a PCOS kit and an endometriosis kit for any people out there suffering with hormones. Also sleep, because sleep usually has some things to do with hormones as well. So incredible resources, all in one place, all in one platform, all for an incredibly crazy reasonable value. And we would love to have you join us in that community. This month we are focused on purpose. There is nothing that leaves a greater ache in our being than not being sure of what our purpose and passion and reason for being here is. And every single soul that is here has a specific reason for being here. And the clearer you get about who you are, the clearer you come to understand what your purpose is. And so we are going to be going deep to help people come to know their purpose, calling, mission, whatever you want to refer to it as, in our live coaching calls. And the next call is tomorrow at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. So with that, it's a wrap. And we'll see you here next week. I'm going to have a special guest. And in the meantime, friends, keep your eyes wide open.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.